check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss, 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus. Gather your besties.
We are very exclusive.
And get ready.
Mom, go make snacks.
For sure, Regina, yeah.
For the movie that hits like a bus. In a good way.
No one died.
Mean Girls. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
I'm Tim Fitzgerald at GoPowerCat.com.
And I'm Michael Swain of Fog.net.
This is a replay of WIBW show The Drive.
Here's this week's episode on the 24/7 Sports Podcast Network.
Good evening, Wildcat Jayhawk fans, and welcome to The Drive, sponsored by Briggs Auto Group. I am Tim Fitzgerald at GoPowerKit.com. The man across the studio from me is Michael Swain of Fog.net. What a different day in basketball for the two schools, Mike.
Yeah, as Weird. Bill as Bill Self questioned, the sun did come up today. That was a quote he had in his post-game Raider interview. The sun is up. It's shining. It's up for an hour later tonight.
I like it.
Pretty welcome.
Yeah. Okay. Let's interact with us on social media at facebook.com/thedriveshow. I said that wrong, didn't I? On Twitter at @thedrive13. And of course, answer our weekly poll question and make your game predictions on our Twitter page. And remember, if you ever miss an episode of The Drive, you can listen to an audio only version that will appear each Monday morning in the form of a podcast at both GoPowerCat and Fog.net. We start things off with our 2 minute drill. The first segment of the 2 minute drill is sponsored by Vanderbilt, your work boot center. It was another road game and another road defeat for KU to end conference play as Kansas got blown out by Houston. Michael, was this a worst case scenario for KU to end conference play?
I think so, for a lot of fronts. You want to talk about the injury front, right? KU's been pretty banged up, and Kevin McCullough, who tweaked his bone bruise in his knee against K-State on senior day, he then basically played with pain in the first half. At halftime, they decided it was such a blowout, they're going to take him out of the game. In the second half, with about 11 minutes left, Hunter Dickinson dislocates his shoulder, has to leave the game. His status for the next week in the Big 12 tournament is still in doubt. And then you got the fact that KU just got shellacked on the road again. And the confidence that seemed to be building after the Kansas State home game is pretty much gone. And now KU goes into postseason play without a lot of confidence. And it's something that Bill Self talked about postgame, saying that he is concerned about the big picture for KU. And I'm sure we'll talk about that a little bit later about how KU might handle that in Kansas City. But Fitz, this game had so many of the same issues I think that we've seen from this KU team throughout this season, right? The floor spacing on offense for the Jayhawks was not there. Hunter Dickinson had to play in a crowd all game, and other guys weren't making shots. Johnny Furphy, who at one point this season was just lighting it up from three, he's been in a slump the last few weeks. He did not play at the same level that he's played at recently. And so when your best floor spacer isn't playing well and your best big man is having to play in a crowd and can't be efficient, it's going to lead to an off night. And that's what happened. And look, I think probably the most concerning part in this game for KU is the fact that they just didn't look ready to play. And if you do that and you go and play Houston not ready to play when it's their senior night, they're going to blow you off the floor. And that's what they did. And so for this team, it's kind of the end of now what is the worst Big 12 campaign under Bill Self. KU finishes the season with only 3 road wins, only 2 road wins in conference play. It's also the worst loss for Kansas against a Big 12 opponent under Bill Self, besting or worsting the game against Texas Tech just a few weeks ago where KU lost by 29 points. They lost by 30 this time. Didn't even get over 50 points, Fitz. Not a good performance from KU, and definitely some big time concerns going into postseason play.
Okay, I got a question for you. We all know the home court advantage KU has. I mean, it's epic. I don't even know what the math is. Based on this season, it might be plus 20 points. Does this team have road issues going on to another team's home court or away from Allen Fieldhouse issues, which is what they're about to do with the Big 12 and NCAA tournaments.
So you look at the Tennessee game and the Kentucky game, two of the bigger wins for KU. Both of those were neutral court.
Yep.
I think this is a road environment thing. And we could talk about mentality. I'm sure I'll talk about that with Houston in a minute. But KU does not have that mentality to go on the road and get those wins. So yep. I think that's what we've seen so far.
Yep, I agree with that. I think they're going to be fine in terms of being away from Allen Fieldhouse. But this team is what it is.
Exactly. Well, hey, Kansas State finished the regular season with a bang, beating sixth-ranked Iowa State 65-258. How well did K-State play in this game, Fitz, and what does this mean for the Wildcats' postseason hopes?
Well, I'll get to that in a second. They played pretty well. Defensively, they played extremely well. They kept Iowa State bottled up. Mostly, they kept Iowa State out of the open court. And, yeah, they turned the ball over. That's K-State's, you know, MO. That's what they do. But it was only 15 times. What's remarkable is they outscored Iowa State off of turnovers. Iowa State had 14, one less, but 20-7. That's a stat that is totally the opposite of what it's been most of the year. They out-rebounded Iowa State. They got to loose balls. They had more fast break points. So they did all the things you got to do. And I would say if you look back and look at some of the stats when they beat Kansas in Bramlage Coliseum, it probably looked a little bit the same. This team has to find a way to offer this effort. 40 minutes of defense. And yeah, the offense comes and goes. It's how this team's built too. But they played through it. They got over that. And they continued to keep the other team repressed with defense. It was good. What it means to the postseason is it doesn't exit K-State completely from the conversation for the NCAA tournament, although they're standing at the door. They're going to have to go to Kansas City and do some work. I asked Jerome Tang after the game what this means. It means he probably thinks they need to win two in Kansas City. That means Texas in the first game of the tournament for K-State, and then they would meet Iowa State, who has a bye, that double bye. They would meet them in the second round, so they'd have to replicate what they just did, and that would be very difficult because Iowa State and Kansas City is like, well, I don't even want to say it. It's just a magical place. It's the greatest place on earth to play basketball if you're Iowa State. So I don't know if they're going to be able to get it done to get to the NCAA tournament. And they still have some issues with the NIT in terms of hosting. But the good news, if you're into just any kind of postseason play, I think they're into the NIT with this win. Their net ranking went up, or rating went up all the way to 71. It's just been one of those years.
Tell you what, Fitz, I was really impressed with, I think, the tenacity, right, that K-State played with. And Iowa State's a team that, like, prides itself on getting 50-50 balls and rebounding really well. To outdo Iowa State in any one of those categories, I think, is really a testament to K-State and the energy they came out with.
Yeah, it was a great effort by K-State. It wasn't beautiful. The first half was pretty ugly, but they won. Houston is the Big 12 champion in their first season in the Big 12. How impressive was this conference campaign from the Cougars?
I think really impressive. And I think for me, mentality is what Houston really showed. Look, the first half of conference play, it was a little rocky. You look at them going on the road, losing at Iowa State, losing at TCU, getting blown out at KU. And then all of a sudden, there's a mental switch that got flipped. And you look at that Baylor game, and that one for me was when I realized, okay, yeah, Houston's winning this whole thing. Because to go on the road and play Baylor in that brand new arena and to play the way they did and then to win the game the way they did in overtime, that showed to me that they had the mental resolve to go on one of these runs where you just look unbeatable. And it's exactly what we've seen Bill Self's teams do in the past. There's some rocky moments in January, but then by the time February comes around and then March hits, the team is clicking on all cylinders, and that's exactly what Kelvin Sampson's team has done. And what's even more impressive is the fact that they've done it without some of their key reserves, right? This is a team now that doesn't have a ton of depth like they had back in January, right? They've had multiple injuries that have really hampered them, and they've had guys step up. They've had other guys like Jamal Shedd just be insanely good and insanely consistent, and it comes back to mentality, being ready to play every single night and being ready to go. And that is exactly what you need to do to win this conference when it is so competitive. And the teams that did not win it, teams that have a lot of talent like Kansas, or teams that, you know, had a lot of success like Iowa State, they had the right mentality. KU did. And so for me, Houston, totally blown away by their season. Huge congrats to them.
Yeah, it was very impressive what they did coming into the conference because they had the problems we thought they would have. And then they acclimated very quickly. But in hindsight, TCU has a gear that most Big 12 teams don't. They also have a lower gear that, you know, is giving them problems. But Iowa State was really good. And they lost at Kansas, which is, you know, a dominant home court for the home team. And so in hindsight, maybe they weren't ever bad losses, but they did find out quickly the road in the Big 12 is a monster, and they got over it, and they started winning everything. Congratulations to the Cougars. They didn't back into anything. They dominated from the midpoint on. Now, a quick look at your poll question results. The poll questions are brought to you by Midland Exteriors. Love the home you live in. Call today for a free estimate.
All right. Last week's question was, should the Big 12 tournament remain in Kansas City despite the conference pushing things to Las Vegas? Shout out all the fans for voting yes. 90% of you. Thank you. No was 6%. And then give it five more years and move it.
I think we're learning that we don't have big viewership in the new areas of the Big 12. I think we're pretty Kansas dominated in this poll. This week's question is, which side of the bracket will win the Big 12 tournament? Here's the top seeds on those sides of the bracket. Tech and Houston, the 4 and the 1 is A. Answer A. Iowa State and Baylor, the 2 and the 3. That is answer B. Vote on our Twitter page at TheDrive13.
All right, that will do it for this half of the 2-minute drill. We'll be right back with more on KU and K-State here on The Drive.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Welcome back to The Drive, fueled by BriggsAuto.com.
Welcome back as we continue our weekly 2-Minute Drill. This segment of the 2-Minute Drill is sponsored by Copeland Insurance Agency, part of your community for more than 60 years. The postseason is set to begin for KU. Michael, what are your expectations heading into the Big 12 tournament and the NCAA tournament?
Fitz, I have such a hard time to think about what this postseason could look like for KU. First and foremost, I think it starts with how is Hunter Dickinson doing.
Right.
You know, as of the time we're recording this, we don't know the status and how the MRI looks and what his status is going to be for Kansas City. I'd be fascinated to see, considering the fact that KU has a chance at playing 4 games in 4 days. I think anyone who's watched Kansas knows that's probably not going to happen. KU probably will run out of steam by the time game 2 or 3 comes around. But how does Kansas handle Hunter Dickinson and Kevin McCullough? Because KU needs McCullough to be as close to healthy as possible to go far in the NCAA tournament. They also need Hunter Dickinson in the same boat. So does KU decide to just not play the two of them in Kansas City and save them for the NCAA tournament? Well, if they do that, then is that going to impact their seeding, right? Will the NCAA tournament selection committee say, well, we've not seen your two best players. We aren't sure if they're going to play. You know, I'm fascinated to see how Bill Self manages this situation because there's also the competitive side. right? These guys want to go out and play. They want to go out and try and win the Big 12 tournament. Bill Self wants to go out and try and win the Big 12 tournament. So I'm fascinated to see how they try and balance this, because it's kind of a catch-22. You try and play the guys, they can risk getting injured again, or, you know, re-aggravating the injury, or you don't play them and maybe it impacts your seeding and you don't go far in the Big 12 tournament. So I think as for the NCAA tournament, so much of it is going to come down to matchups. If KU plays a slow-paced team that plays through its big man, they'll be fine and they'll be able to win. But if they come up against a hot shooting three-point team that's going to try and go full BYU and make 17 threes in a game, like, that could pose some big time issues. And so for me, if KU is able to get out of the first weekend, which I think you look at past numbers for KU teams that are in line with this one, it shows that the second round exit is most likely. But if KU makes it out of the first weekend, I kind of think they're going to play in the Elite Eight, because Bill Self's record playing in the Sweet 16 is really strong. And this is a team that, if given some extra time to rest, can be at its best. So Fitz, like, this is one of those situations where I don't have super high expectations for KU in the postseason. But if you told me they made the Elite Eight, I'd say, yeah, this year has been weird enough. Yeah. Like, that wouldn't surprise me. They're talented enough to do it. It'd be a question of, are the guys healthy enough to do it?
Everything changes in the postseason. I like the idea of just resting these guys, getting them healthy, Kansas City. KU's might be good enough to win that first game. And look, you're right. It's extremely hard to win four in Kansas City. And it's almost, if you're an NCAA tournament team, is that really what you want, to put your team through that wear and tear to win that tournament? It's going to be interesting. But I'll say this, I wouldn't worry about the seeding, because unfortunately for KU fans, I think they're in a position where they're going to get shipped out anyhow. And whether that's a four seed, a five seed, I don't know what they're looking at, a three seed, I think they'll get shipped out. Maybe they'll get sent somewhere close by, but there's just not many close by choices this season.
Yeah, it's really Omaha, and then outside of that, you're talking eight-hour drives. So
yeah,
we'll have to see. But the K-State women, on the other hand, held off West Virginia 65-62 to advance to the Big 12 tournament semifinals on Monday night. Fitz, are these Wildcats still in the national title conversation?
They're on the fringe of it. The challenge for Kansas State here is to keep winning. They play Texas on Monday night. Of course, the women have Sunday off, a new thing that we're going to see in this conference because of the inclusion of BYU in membership. But I'm not sure where this team's at. Look, West Virginia's good. It's not really fair to measure this team solely against how they played against the sixth seed, because West Virginia has a really good team. The upper portion of women's basketball in this conference is very good, and then it drops off a little bit. But, West Virginia gives K-State problems whenever they play. To get by that game with Ayoka Lee and some foul trouble is a good sign. But now, what do they have in the tank as they move into really the meat of this conference? The top four seeds all advanced, and you get to play a Texas team that is probably the most talented team in the conference. Can they notch a signature win, move themselves up solidly into the top 16 seeds of the women's bracket? Because if so, they will get to host a region, one of the sub-regionals that they're at Brahma's Coliseum, and that would be enormous. The last bracketology for the women showed them on the five line, so they were going to Indiana. That's not the worst of it. The worst of it was they were playing Indiana, which would have been the 16 seed. So that means the one seed awaiting them was South Carolina. You don't want to be in South Carolina's bracket. Nobody can beat them. And maybe you want to get a little further down the road before you face them. So doing some more work in Kansas City would be very helpful. Let's be honest, if Kansas State can get a home, site for the NCAA tournament for the first two games, they're going to sell a lot of tickets. And I know that's what K-State wants, but more importantly is the women need to get back to playing how they were playing earlier in the season. Because even though they've got Lee back, it just doesn't seem to have the same chemistry. Mm. If they rediscover that, they are going to go deep into the tournament.
Yeah, they are. They're so impressive. I saw them play KU in person, and KU has been playing really well. But I think the K-State women have the makings of a team that can go on a run. But you're right, avoiding the Iowas, the South Carolinas of the world will be really important.
Yep, having a dominant point guard and a really big post presence is huge in women's basketball. And now we step out of bounds, and Out of Bounds is brought to you by Darris Corner Market. We love local, and we are local for you. Michael, I'm struggling, man. What's up with me? Is there something going on?
We got more time to talk here, Fitz.
Okay, good.
Houston won the Big 12 in its first season. Arizona now is on the way next season. Should the Big 12 try and add more basketball powers if there's more expansion?
This is a big topic on our new Big 12 channel on YouTube about where the conference is going to go if the ACC kind of comes apart. Do they try to get as many football? Look, if you can get Florida State and Clemson, you grab them, but those won't be available. So then do you like go, okay, we'll take what's available here, which might be Virginia Tech and, you know, Louisville, which is good in basketball. Or do they actually want Duke, which seems to be a school that might get left out just because football is so unimportant. But is Duke a good fit for the conference? Well, I don't know. But, boy, you keep beefing up basketball, you're going to make some money on your next basketball contract. And let's keep in mind, this whole topic is about Brett Yormark breaking basketball out of the media contract to be its own entity. A brilliant move because Big 12 basketball, just with this grouping, with Arizona, Houston, Kansas, Iowa State, everyone else, Baylor, it's valuable. And can they make it so valuable that it will close the financial gap with the other two main conferences?
Yeah, college football is always going to be the driving force for a lot of these dollars. You know, if we're talking expansion for basketball purposes only, go get Gonzaga. Like, just do that. Don't worry about the football. If Brett Yormark is trying to take advantage of a market inefficiency in terms of your programming from, right, what, mid-January through March in terms of having programs. So I'd be fascinated to see how they do it. I think you got to be open to it just to try and find as many ways to make as much money as possible.
Yeah, I mean, there's talk about doing four. Gonzaga, you know, Villanova. I don't know who else. Maybe St. John's because Brett Yormark loves New York. Now let's hear from our fans. Our fan question is sponsored by MetalArk. Retirement awaits in Manhattan, where you can live your way every day. Our fan question this week is, was this KU team doomed from the start? That is from Jeff and Lawrence. Ooh, thank you very much.
Really good question and kind of a common sentiment right now. I'd say no, because you didn't know that Nick Timberlake wasn't going to be able to play at this level. You didn't know that Elmarco Jackson was going to struggle like this. And you didn't know that Kevin McCullough was going to have a bone bruise and Hunter Dickinson was going to dislocate his shoulder. So a lot of these things kind of play out over the course of a season. So I don't think it was necessarily doomed from the start, but definitely like every step of the way, kind of the worst case scenario has happened.
If I had an answer for K-State, it might be yes. I'm not sure.
All right, well, remember to ask us your questions on our Facebook page and on Twitter at The Drive 13. When we return, we'll look at our predictions here on The Drive.
It's the UEFA Champions League on Paramount Plus. Europe's top club soccer tournament. Champions versus champions. The best teams facing off in the knockout rounds.
Magnificent!
And it all takes place
while you're filling out financial reports at work. In the middle of your day, in the middle of your week. So use that second screen. Call in sick. Do whatever you gotta do to tune in Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Nobody watches the UEFA Champions League like us. Stream every match live exclusively on Paramount Plus.
Welcome back to The Drive, fueled by BriggsAuto.com.
And it is time to head down the home stretch of this week's show. Now let's look at our predictions. Predictions are brought to you by Kites, meeting your friends at Kites since 1954. Remember to make your weekly predictions on our Twitter page at TheDrive13. Let's look at last week's results. The viewers went 1-2. Michael and I both went 2-1. Michael has tied the viewers.
Thank
He's climbing,
gosh.
Slowly climbing. And now this is this week's pick. Start with K-State versus Texas in the Big 12 tournament. UT by 3.5, minus 3.5. I will take K-State. I think K-State's going to win.
Oh, I'll take Texas because I do not think K-State's going to win. And next up is KU against Cincinnati or West Virginia. We don't know if Kevin McCullough or Hunter Dickinson are playing. I'm still going to take KU. I feel awful about it, kind of hedging my bets here that one of them will play. We got 4.5 for KU. Who are you taking, Fitz?
I'm thinking Cincinnati will win against West Virginia. I'm going to take Cincinnati because they are on the distant bubble, but they can make some noise in Kansas City. They might get in.
All right.
Our last game of the week is Oklahoma and TCU. It's a pick 'em. Who do you got?
Give me Oklahoma.
I will scientifically take the opposite.
Oh.
TCU. Again, make your picks on our Twitter page at TheDrive13. And now it's time for our On the Clock segment. On the Clock is sponsored by Carpet One, by local for a strong local community. We start off with Mr. Michael Swain.
I want to give a shout out to KU Baseball.
Woo.
Coach Fitz, no, not you, Tim. Dan Fitzgerald has done a great job with the KU Baseball program. They have turned the corner, didn't have the hottest start to the season, but they had a huge series win over TCU this weekend. TCU is a number three ranked team in the country, and KU handed them, I believe, their first loss of the season. Make that two losses in the season. For KU Baseball, it's the start of a gauntlet for Big 12 play. They're going to play some really tough teams, but it's a great way to start, and a huge credit to the baseball team for the big upset this weekend.
Let's see if I can get this all in. I had an Iowa State fan come to say hi at the K-State-Iowa State game. He had seen me on a Iowa State podcast called Kicking It and had a great time on it. But they asked me about Jerome Tang. Now, let's remember, they had the filming incident, the accusation of that, if you want to call it that, and everyone in Iowa thinks Jerome Tang is the worst human being ever. Maybe Kansas fans, because he doesn't shake hands well enough, is also in the idea that he's not a good man. And I told this guy, Jerome Tang is one of the best human beings I've ever met. A little emotional at times, yeah, but a really good dude. And he was shocked. That's it for this week's edition of The Drive. We'll see you next week right here and all week on social media.
If you want to win your fantasy football league, it starts right now. The offseason is the best time to get ahead of the competition. We'll help you win your league on the Fantasy Football Today podcast, part of CBS Sports Podcast Network. Fantasy Football Today has three episodes every week following the latest news, giving you early rankings, early sleepers, breakouts, and busts. So if you're a dedicated fantasy football manager, check out the most dedicated podcast, Fantasy Football Today. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found.